Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host this morning, Greg Lancaster, here to encourage you, to inspire you, to give you insight. And joining me on this journey to encourage you and to inspire you is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
In addition, the one, the only, just north of New York City and just south of New York City, just north of Georgia a bit, John Ramos.
Good morning.
I want to give a shout out this morning to all of our listeners. I want to give a hello to our VFN family that's scattered and fruitful and growing like a vine around the world. Good morning, Zachary, and all the way in Okinawa. It's so good to see you on Deuce Space, being active again, man. Can't wait to see you back. I want to give a hello and a happy birthday this morning to Joanne Padilla. Tomorrow is going to be your birthday. We're going to give you an early shout out and say, oh my goodness, girl, can you believe another one has come? Give a shout out this morning to Pam. Good morning, Pam. I hope you and the ladies are having a wonderful time. Also to Tracy. I know that you guys are just kicking back, relaxing, and enjoying God's creation this morning. Give a shout out also to all super moms meeting in Texas. Pastor K. Char, we are pumped. We are pumped. We are pumped. Super moms.
Woohoo.
Woo! This Saturday, don't miss it, Super Moms in Klein, Texas, where Pastor Kichara, she'll be leaping buildings in a single bound while changing a diaper with her right hand and teaching teachers with her left hand. She's an awesome lady.
Awesome.
Give a shout out this morning to Steve. I'm looking forward to our time together coming up. Good morning, Sarah. Good morning. Spring, Texas. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning is John Ramos.
Good morning.
I like that. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Yeah, I love it. And also joining us is the one, the only one they have. No, the Saints fan.
Oh, my goodness.
No, truly, truly. I mean, there's a new breeze blowing in New Orleans. And as long as it's going in the right direction, things are going good.
That's right.
Nah, Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Oh, here we are. We're here to encourage you this morning, this Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning.
Oh my goodness. You know, be strong and be courageous. Realize, you know, that this life, I'm looking at this morning and I'm realizing as I'm looking at the length of life that Adam had, you know, the first Adam, he lived 930 years.
Okay.
You know?
Wow.
Can you imagine 900?
No.
900. Happy birthday to you. Call the fire department. Happy birthday.
Yeah, exactly.
You imagine the candles on that puppy. And, you know, he lived 930 years. Mm. I mean, think about it, 930 years. You know, that's like 930 winters, 930 summers. Think about it. 930 everything, right? Mm-hmm. And then Seth, his son, lived 912 years.
Wow.
You think that's 1,842 years. That's 1,842 years between a father and a son. And it's only been 2,012 years since our Lord's ministry here on the earth. Mm. I mean, outside of 170 years, these two men lived as long as it's been since Jesus was ministry was here on earth. Mm. Isn't that something? You know, the nerve of us to even think, oh, my goodness, it's like, dude, you know, come on. I mean, you think about it. I mean, that's 92% of the time, if you take all the days between now and the time that Jesus' ministry was here on earth, they lived 92% of those days in their life, in their lifespan. Mm. 92%. Mm. You know what I'm saying? We didn't expect you to draw Social Security this long.
He draw multiple Social Securities.
Can you imagine, man? You're double dipping. No, you're triple dipping. You're triple dipping. You know, and when you think about it, you know, James lets us know that he says in James 4:14, he says, what is your life? You know, what is your life? He says, it's just like a vapor. It's like a mist that appears for a while and it just poof. You know, it vanishes. Mm-hmm. I mean, think, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Or in Peter, when he writes, he says, do not forget this one thing, dear brothers. And he's like, don't forget this. He says, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day.
Wow.
So Adam's life was like a day. Mm-hmm. And we are promised now, I mean, after the flood, I mean, we can max out. If we take our tachometer and we press the accelerator of our life when we eat Wheaties or something, you know, and we want to live to the very max, according to after the flood, it's 120 years. But God promises us 70 years.
Right.
And 80 years if strong. Right. That's what he says in his word.
That's right.
He promises that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the mercies of God, is it not?
Yes.
I mean, look at the trouble we get in these 80 years.
First 300 years were good, right. But the last 300 was something else. Man,
Lord, you should have took me out on my 400th birthday. And so you think about that, you know, our life being 70 or 80 years. So in other words, if you're beyond 70, and a lot of people are because we're so blessed, that is within the promises of God. But when you exceed 80 years old, I mean, you're living in this awesome, blessed state. Because God only promised us 70 or 80.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because of sin, he cut us off at 120 because he had to destroy everybody, you know, except Noah and all. Mm-hmm. And so then you think about that, then that means that our life compared to Adam's life is only 7 to 8%. That's how long our life is compared to Adam's life.
Mm. Wow.
Think about it. We only live like 7 to 8% in that 70 to 80 years. Isn't that something? And we have the nerve. I'm like, can you imagine? You know, Adam's going like, oh, get my auger. No, obviously, I mean, it was the beginning of the fall of man. Mm-hmm. I mean, he did live in the fall of man. He had a few things to do with it.
He had a little issue.
A few little issues, but you know, and if he wouldn't have eaten the apple, John would have. No, we all would have, right? We've proven that out, haven't we?
Oh yeah.
Applesauce. And then so he goes on to say right after that, talking about time, he says in 2 Peter 3:9, he says, Understand time. Get it right. Mm. Get the right perspective. And you know, it helps you to understand God's response to us in our life. It's important because, you know, we're thinking, you know, God, why haven't you done this yet? Or, why have you done this too soon? and he says in 2 Peter 3:9, he says, the Lord is not slow to keep his promises. He's not slow. I mean, we're only living 7 to 8% of Adam's life. We shouldn't even use the word slow.
Right.
It's a vapor. We just got to crank it up and get it all in the short vapor that we have.
Right.
I mean, you think about it, how many times you could start again with Adam's life, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, man, we got moments, you know? We have moments to determine what we'll be able to lay before the Lord's feet in eternity. Mm-hmm. And the Lord is not slow, he says, to keep his promises as some understand slowness.
Mm-hmm.
He is patient. Think about that. Is he not patient?
Oh, yeah.
Very.
Do you want us to give you a moment, Pat?
Any reflection?
Soaking it in.
Right,
but look how long he gave the Saints to win something. But they won big time. Right. I think the bags are like in the seats now. Reach under your chairs and see what you get the surprise. It's a bag.
It was worth the wait.
No, they're going to do it again. He is patient with us. He's a patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone to come to repentance. Now, this is so important when you think about perspective, that realize that despite how bad somebody is right now, and even what they're saying and what they're doing, God loves them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we have to understand in the context of us encouraging them and sharing with them the love of God and the desire of God to forgive them and bring them into relationship with him so they wouldn't die in their sins and be eternally separated from him. We have to be careful how we deliver that, because we're moving outside the will of God, you know, and we're not speaking for him when we're sitting here saying, you know, God's wanting to destroy you and you to die in your sins. That's not what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And we think, you know, how long is this bad dude going to keep going for this long?
Mm-hmm.
And God's saying, you know, I'm going to give him some more time. I'm going to give him some more time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not slow as we would perceive slowness. He's actually, what he's saying, what Peter's saying is he's just saying, I'm being patient with him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just being patient. Patient means, you know, I mean, you know, the epitome of patience is probably John Paul Ramos. But when you think about, Teresa, I'll get back with you in a minute. She just texted me. No, you know, patience is enduring hardship and you know, things getting in your way and difficulty without complaining,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that beautiful? That this is actually a God calling, because sometimes we just feel like it's our obligation. Isn't somebody going to complain about this? You're getting in my way of my plans, you know. Versus just going, oh, cool. Obviously, somebody here is a sinner, and God's giving you time to repent. So I'm not going to say nothing,
right?
Even though you destroyed my plans, no. And so it's important to be patient and long suffering with those who have yet turned to God.
Mm-hmm.
It's just important to be that way. It's important to look somebody. You know, and so this is one of Pat's favorite quotes from Rick Joyner, is, until you're willing to be humiliated for the sake of those who are humiliating you.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? That's the place we got to get to, because, mm-hmm. you know, Jesus was willing to be humiliated for the sake of those who were humiliating him.
Right.
When they were nailing him to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, he's Jesus. So we get a little confused sometimes. Mm, yeah. Like, I know there has to be some contemplation in this, some premeditatedness, you know, in this thing. And that when we're being persecuted, and when people are, you know, telling the truth or the forgiven truth about us or the lie about us, you know, that we can be patient in that and long-suffering and realize, you know, this is our time to be Stephen when we're being stoned. This is our time.
Right.
And we just say, you know, Father, boom, 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 boom. Because we're getting stoned, right? Forgive them.
Mm.
Hold not this sin against them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is like John. I mean, isn't it amazing?
That's so John.
You know, we want you to interview his family as they get to experience all this patience and long suffering.
Everything I learned from Pat.
I would say God's still working on us in this. What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want us to pray for patience for you, John?
Oh, no, that's okay.
Patience comes through trials,
yeah, I
right?
did that once.
Yeah, right. Remember that?
Operative word was once, right?
Yeah, once, yes. Right, right. I'm okay with the pace. I'm moving it.
Mm-hmm.
But the perspective of things and understanding that if we grasp, it's for an audience of one.
Right.
You know, it wasn't for an audience of two with Adam and Eve. Obviously, they found out when the audience that was their audience at the time was God. And next thing you know, they were actually entertaining themselves in the context of Satan, Eve, and Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't even thinking about God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were talking about him, but they weren't thinking about that they were living for an audience of one until he started strolling in the garden the next day, and they realize, oh my goodness, he's our audience. His eyes are on us. He's right. Coming, you know, and they start hiding behind, you know. I mean, the first bushes, you know, the first shrubbery, the first, you know, vegetation that was created on the face of this earth was used to hide behind.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
You think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you get the right perspective in this, that you don't have to hide anymore. They were hiding because they lived their life not realizing that it was for God they should have been living, not for man. Because
mm-hmm.
all their horizontal arguments made no vertical sense.
Right.
You know, so when mm-hmm. God shows up, it's like, oh my goodness. You know.
Ruh-ruh.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Exactly, you know. And it's like, I mean, you know, Adam looks at Eve, is like, you ain't got no clothes on. And she says, don't look at me. On. Don't look at me. And all of a sudden they felt so ashamed because they were living their life, you know, for that moment and for themselves. But they realized it was for God when God showed up.
That's right.
And when we live it for God, we don't run and hide from God. We run to God and we're glad to see him and we understand the cross and all. But understanding the perspective of time that, you know, we have to have a vapor to be able to live our life for God.
That's right.
It's a very short, I mean, it's amazing how short it gets, you know, as time passes, it's just like you got to grab it and force it to be in compliance with fruitfulness and destiny. And it's like everything pulls at you to say, no, go to sleep, you know, be induced by this world and just go into a slumber and, you know, the right. God of entertainment or just, you know, just staring at a wall, you know,
right.
You know, reading a book that instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to spend eternity with God. Although my life is only 7 to 8% of what Adam's life is, I will spend eternity with Adam, with God forever. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have to remember what I did with this vapor. Now Adam had 1,000 almost.
Yeah.
You know, and he's going to look at us and just go, you know, you had 7%. You had 7%. Could you not last that long? Could you not tarry for 7% of my life?
Right.
Could you not tarry? I mean, look at all the stuff you did at 7 and 8%. You could have just got up, been born. You could have walked easily before God, done things that was right, trusted in God. You've had the grace of God and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You could have done this thing.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and I mean, it's going to be embarrassing, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness.
And then that's Pat, and we'll be behind him in the line.
We told him. He was listening to VFN radio. He was there.
Yeah, we told him, yeah. You know, so John and I were just like, we hope we could stand in line behind Pat. We're going to hear God. It was your fault. It was your fault.
Yes, you're right.
You're right. Well, praise God. We'll be right back after these messages. You know, when you think about it, there's so many people who talk about God. I mean, you think about, it's amazing how many, you would think that everybody knows God because they talk about God. But, you know, the more you find out, and once you meet God, then you find out people call a lot of things God.
Mm.
And it's not truly God that they're really talking about. It's their perception of what they're making. But you really don't know that until you actually meet God. And the only way to really meet God is to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what's good. That's the gospel. The gospel, which means good news. You know, it just means good news, right? It's just good. The good news is that we couldn't have a relationship with God. It was totally over outside of a bridge, of a doorway, of access to God. And that's what Jesus did for us. And he's the only way to God. And so, you know, you just got to meet him. You got to meet my Father. If you want to meet him today, if you want to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. You can find out my story, you know, my journey, which is just kind of, you know, you think about it. I try to share as much of my story to know how bad I am outside of Jesus Christ. And I had to cut it off at some point.
But rest assured that outside of Jesus Christ, there's no way. I'm just, you know, Paul says of the sinners, I'm the chiefest. And you think about it, you know, we all can say that. And I just thank God for Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. But anyway, if you want to meet God or find out about my journey or others' journey, go to meetmyfather.org today. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
As a matter of fact, I want to say, too, to those that are on the our Apple applications out there, make sure you go to iTunes and, you know, write a review. There's people, you know, they're going to be coming and they're looking and they're trying to find encouraging words and, you know, what they can, you know, I want something to listen to. I want something to view that's going to encourage me during these times. And, of course, we're getting feedback from all of a lot of our listeners and viewers that, and new people will be coming from around the world. You know, we have all the way from Okinawa to Texas and throughout in Oregon
and Africa.
I mean, it's all around the world and America. And so they'll read your review. So go to iTunes, you know, type in VFN TV, and you'll find the application there. You can download it. But also, once you listen for a while, once you watch, then say, you know what, I'm going to write a review. And so other people, it's a way for you to help win people to the Lord, to encourage them to tune in to VFN Radio. Well, here we are. We are back, and we had our Bojangles moment right there. The chicken was good.
The chicken was good.
It's got a little bit of spice to it, not enough for Pat, but it's got good flavor to it, and it was so juicy.
Well, I've got a good chicken place. Next time you come visit, oh, I've got the place.
Your food is so good up there. Oh, my goodness. I wish there was a way that you could just... which one?
There's this place, I don't even know the name. It's a Chinese restaurant, and they stay so full. Actually, Eddie turned me on to this place. But you got to wait like 25 minutes every time you go to order your food. And, it is so... I mean, I'm sure it's not healthy for you, you know what I'm saying? But it is so delicious.
What's the place that you and I went to where they brought over like a whole cow and all the, they kept on bringing nonstop meat. You kept on, give them more. What was that?
Oh, that was in the Ironbound. We went to, that's Ironbound in New York. What was that?
No, it was Jersey. It was Jersey.
Newark.
Oh, Newark. Oh, okay.
Ironbound in Newark. It was a Portuguese restaurant. What do they call that? It's slipping my mind.
First the P.
It's called Endless Meats. What do they call that?
Gluttony. They kept on bringing. Go ahead. Tell them.
Greg gets off the plane, so the first thing says, let's take you out to eat. So we take him down to the Ironbound in Newark, Portuguese restaurant. And this area is awesome because they all have the same type of restaurants. You go in there, you order your food, and Pat, get this. It's unlimited meat.
Unlimited meat.
So they'll come around and they'll bring you these sausages, the chicken, and they bring you the filet mignon. It's and you know what? I mean, I saw a big smile on Greg's. I even have a picture. Man, big smile on his face.
Oh, someone show that picture.
Oh my goodness! Is it before or after?
Well, he kept on going, moi, or something. I don't know.
Oh, I kept bringing them over, but that was good food.
It was like the whole shish kebab. It was like a 4-foot shish kebab.
Oh my god!
You know, and they'd come over, and one of them was like a beef one, and one was a chicken one. One was
like sausage.
Which was, you know, I was like, don't waste your time on that.
Yeah, right.
Get me. You had to work. They made you earn the filet mignon.
Yeah. Like, don't bring me any more sausages. Okay? Bring me the filet mignon.
And Isaiah's looking at me like with a grilled cheese sandwich. Why are you getting all that meat? I was like, take it, Isaiah, please. Take it.
We definitely got some food here. I'll tell you that much.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. Have you been back there, John?
No, but I do remember. It is Rodizio.
Rodizio. Rodizio.
Yep, that's what they call it. But I haven't been back. But I have to dig up that picture, though, because it was such a big smile you had. I mean, you were really enjoying that feast.
We can put that with the microphone picture.
It's all good.
Oh, is it? Oh my goodness.
It's good. Don't worry, I got some
pictures. Okay, right.
Yeah.
Right, Pat, we have some.
We got stuff.
I mean, nowadays, amazing. This might as well just put it all out there. Just everybody.
It's going to get there eventually.
Don't worry, we will.
It's going to get there eventually. You know, people don't believe one day, used to play football. Remember that 5 minutes?
In the vapor?
Yeah, the vapor. Yeah, that vapor. It was a vapor in a vapor. No, he really did. He was the Mako. I remember here's a picture of him playing. Well, you're actually sitting on a bench, but I remember the pictures in the bench. I don't know. I didn't remember the picture of you on the bench.
Oh my goodness.
He had the bandana on.
It was because the offense was on the field.
He looked like Deion Sanders, man. Oh, you were in the offense?
Well, when you play defense, you're not on there when the offense is on the field.
Oh, you were playing defense.
Yeah.
Defense. Oh, okay.
I thought
I didn't go both ways.
He's a little defensive. He's a little defensive. Yeah.
And the bandana was for the helmet across the forehead. It would always rub me raw, so that's why you do it.
It wasn't to protect your hair.
It wasn't for a style by any means.
It held down his mullet.
Ooh.
I did not
I thought
have
he had
one.
Feather.
No, he didn't.
Feather thing?
No, at that time. Did you wear your Oakleys when you were playing?
Oh my God! Moving on.
Okay. Pictures. Give me those pictures.
Oh, we have them.
We have them.
We have transparent. You mean about so transparent? Oh, we have transparency. We have. Oh, it's amazing. Got some great stuff. Thanks to his mother. She is so sweet. We have a shout out this morning to Renee, and thank you. We sat on the floor laughing, digging through photos. I thought, you know, she's so sweet. I was like, oh my goodness, she's got a streak here going. And she's like, look at this one. Look at this
one.
Oh
my gosh.
She kept pulling them out, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Actually, we have pictures of, you know, Pat in the early radio days. He has his earphones on, or whatever you call these things. And he is sitting there he's getting ready for radio. Remember that? You were probably about, I don't know, a half a day old.
Well,
there it is, right
one.
There. I see it on the torch.
Oh yeah, that one.
Let me pull that up real quick.
Remember the big old
headphones? Yeah, they're huge. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, as you guys sat dormant, dormant. When we were talking, y'all were like, we can go back and play the. I said, listen, you know, I'm talking about this horrific reality. Of, you know, more Americans now are identifying as atheists. Has gone up from 4% to 5% of the American population since 2005. I said, how much is that? And Pat goes, I'll have to default to you. You know, and then John was really silent right there. So I had some research. I want to thank you for those who put it together. You know, it's the intellectual part of our program. Really, this is so stimulating. You know what I'm saying?
I see.
What do you think? And you think, well, 5%. When you think 5% of, you know, a dollar, you think a nickel. But when you're thinking 5% of the population of a country of like 311 million people, that is 15.5 million people.
Wow.
15.5 million people now, you know, roughly identify themselves as an atheist. That's horrific.
Wow, that's a lot.
Well, not only that, you think about it. The population, let me tell you the states. If you added up populations of states that would total 15 million people, I'll just tell you the states. I'll tell you the states. Imagine all these states, everybody in these. I'm not saying the people in these states, for our listeners in those states, are atheists. I'm just saying we're using that as a comparison. And just think, every state I'm about to name would equal that 5% of the American population who says there is no God. That's what an atheist is. You think about it. Wyoming has 568,000 people. So the whole state of Wyoming.
In the whole state?
See?
How many?
See what I'm talking about? So the whole state is less than 600,000 people.
Wow.
And so that means all of Wyoming could be atheists. They're not atheists, but I'm just using this comparison. Right. You know, I'm using it as a comparison because I'm not saying the people. Mm-hmm. It's important to say this. But to say, so then you can include all of Wyoming if you're going to lose some sort of comparison. What's 5% of America? And then you could actually say Vermont. Vermont is only 626,000. Isn't it amazing these small state senators who make a big boast?
Yes.
Like this equal thing with representation, representative government.
And for people in your community.
Yeah, yeah. I know it. I know it. So then you can include all of Wyoming and all of Vermont. Mm. And we're still not anywhere near the 15.5 million who now call themselves an atheist, that say that there is no God. Mm-hmm. You can even include North Dakota, which only has 683,000. Mm. So that means you can include Wyoming, Vermont, North Dakota. You can include Alaska, 722,000.
Wow.
You can include South Dakota. That's 824,000. You can include Delaware, under a million. Montana, under a million. Rhode Island, right at a million. New Hampshire, Maine, Hawaii, Idaho, Nebraska, West Virginia. That's 15.6 million people. Mm. So if you were going to look at how significant when you say that, you know, that people who call themselves an atheist in America and you compare it to what it means by states, that means imagine all the populations in these states I'm about to read off that would be equal to that.
Wow.
So imagine Wyoming as an atheist state, Vermont as an atheist state, North Dakota, Alaska, South Dakota, Delaware, Montana, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Maine, Hawaii, Idaho, Nebraska, and West Virginia. Imagine all those states are atheists, and they say there is no God.
It's like 14 states.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wow.
That's what I'm talking about. So when we say that 5% of 311 million people who are under the Constitution say there is no God, when our Constitution says all of our rights come from God, in addition that, you know, 73% in 2005, it's dropped to 60% from 73% of people who no longer refer to themselves as being religious.
Mm.
It's headed towards a pagan. And then this is the thing that bothers me, that obviously, but it's the sleeping church that doesn't even pay attention to the reality that our nation is being lost before us. And we still sing our songs. We still get together. We still do plays and dramas and different things. And, you know, we do all this stuff, but it's like we have a nation that's falling before us, a Christian nation that's falling before us, and we don't even seem concerned about it.
Right.
But it kind of boils back down to, you know, that's what happened, you know, when Adam and Eve hid from God. They didn't want anything to do with God because they had sinned. Mm. And so we're never going to want to deal with the sins of our nation until we deal with our own sins.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's a significant thing. 14 states could be written off as atheist states. And of course, they're not, but we're using that as a comparison.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because 15.5 billion approximately call themselves, you know, an atheist, which they say there is no God. And, mm-hmm. and since 2005, people who call themselves a religious person, mm-hmm. you know, has dropped from 73% to 60%. We are in trouble as a nation. Yeah. But the way things work is the more trouble you are in spiritually, normally the sleepier you are in mm-hmm. the spiritual things. It's harder mm-hmm. for you to be, you know, it's the opposite. You
right.
think it's your most desperate time of need that you'd be on your hands and knees crying and screaming for justice, but the opposite, God just gives you over to it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so I want to encourage you that we can do something about this, and that's what we're wanting to do. You know, obviously what we're doing is not working.
Right.
And so we need to think about, you know, rethinking church, rethinking how we're presenting Jesus Christ. You know, how have we presented him? Are they mm-hmm. looking at us? Are they seeing family? Are they seeing love? Are they just seeing religion? Mm-hmm. Are they seeing a whole bunch of rules and regulations? Are they seeing whitewashed cups? And tombs, whitewashed tombs, and outside cups that are clean, but the inside are dirty. Do they see us making, you know, converts, you know, twice as much a son as hell as we are type statements that mm-hmm. Jesus was talking about? Are we in love with Jesus and the love we have for him and our abiding relationship is just overflowing into their lives?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
So, we have to have a clue at some point. That if this is the direction that we're going, and now we have a president who is more paganistic in his responses about everything, it's amazing mm-hmm. what he's saying about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the church just kind of winks at it, and then we run and wrap our arms around, you know, somebody who's probably a very good American, but he's a Mormon who has, they're preaching another Jesus. This ain't good when you look at all these things going on.
No, it isn't. Right. No, it isn't.
Why our enemies, like wolves, you know, roam around, I would say the outside of our borders of our nation to take us in. But now, you know, we have enemies foreign and domestic now.
Right.
Probably more domestic adversaries towards the Constitution and God than we've ever had in our country before.
Yeah.
While the church.
In the backyard.
Yeah. While, literally. Remember, yeah. Very close. They put some terrorist in jail in Jersey that was just very, very near, you know, what's happening up there in Jersey.
Yeah.
So I just want to add to that, you know, and understand what 5% of America, that's very significant, because they say it only takes 10% of a population to convince the rest of the population to go in a certain way.
Wow.
All you need is a tenth. If you get 10%. 10%, and they're already at 5%, and the church is declining, not inclining, in America versus the other countries.
Wow.
What do we got to do? Listen, we just got to fall back in love with Jesus. We got to deal with our sin. As a matter of fact, we're going to be talking in just a moment to Paul Davison about redigging the wells in Birmingham, Alabama, a place of repentance and for the sins of our fathers and our sins. And I'm telling you, this is the time. This is the time that we need to respond to God like never before. And look how many times God's people were in danger of total destruction and they cried out to him and he responded.
That's right.
I mean, he responds. He loves you. Not one man would perish. And so God is for you, not against you, but he waits for you to use the authority that he's given you to lay it down and say, I need you.
That's right.
I want to make you the Lord of my life. I want to, no matter what religion has told me, I know I have sinned. I know I have turned against you, God. And I want a fresh start. I want a new beginning in you. I want to be born again. I want to receive you. I want to forget what's behind. I want to receive what's ahead. I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories, you know, and you can kind of read up on our stories and you have your own, but it may bear witness to you that God saves sinful people. That's us.
Mm-hmm.
And then he empowers us to be able to walk with him. And he's just, you know, humility is highly underrated.
Mm.
Total dependency on God and respect for other people is how you would define that. Okay. It's okay to trust God. It's okay not to trust the economies of men and politicians and all that kind of stuff, but to trust God.
Mm. Right.
It's okay to trust God. We'll be right back.
You know, it's exciting, you know, Greg. You know, when I first gave my life to the Lord, I was so pumped about wanting to know more about him and giving my life to him. So I remember I just graduated a 4-year university.
4 years.
4 years. Spent all this money in student loans.
Oh, yeah.
And I got my first real professional job, you know.
Wow.
And,
what was your degree in? What was your degree in?
Criminal justice.
Criminal justice. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Is that funny?
Well, you know, coming from 10 years of law enforcement just makes me think about it.
Well, you know, so I just get my real professional job. I'm working for the Department of Juvenile Justice, and I hadn't even been there 6 months, but God is just doing such an amazing work in my life, and I'm willing to just leave my job, and I wind up going to a Bible college, go back to school.
Yeah.
And
after
so,
4 years of getting a degree, you're going to go back to school.
Right.
Wow.
And so I wanted to prepare myself, you know, and I thought, you know, I didn't even think that God could use me. You know, I thought, you know, I'm going to be a Christian for a long time. I just want to, you know, know more about God, you know.
Totally know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so I didn't even think, you know, I was going to be used to do anything for him. And so I said, you know, this is a good idea. This is a good idea. So I go to school and I get all this education and I'm hearing every week it appeared, you know, we're going to go to China and we're going to go to India. And we're going to take Africa. And I'm thinking, who's going to take me?
Because as a believer, you have so many personal struggles and you want to be able to find out how to get past that. You know, how do I help me from me, right?
You tell me about it, right? So, you know, what was encouraging is to now to finish that and to be graduated. You know, it's so amazing what VFN University is all about and how we can equip people that are hungry, believers that want to do something for God and not get lost in theological references but you can grow as a person. You
four
can
inch books.
Say it again.
4-inch books, you know what I'm saying?
goodness trying to, trying to study Hebrew and you can't get out of Genesis. You know what I mean? It's like, what?
Yeah.
Are we talking about Ezekiel right now? You know what I mean? They're like, you know, I love when Mark Twain says,
can you help me turn my head right now?
Exactly.
Turn the pages.
I thought Mark Twain said, I hope I'm saying it correctly, but he says, not the scriptures that I don't understand that give me the biggest problems. It's the scriptures I do understand, you know? And
yeah.
It's like, let's start individually here. Let's work on our own growth and walk with the Lord. And so VFNU is a fresh perspective where a student is not, it's not about what you can do for God. It's about what God can do through you.
Right.
Oh, and through a personal abiding relationship. So, right. You know, if you're out there and you're saying, you know, I've got all this education and I know all this stuff, but it's just not connecting. I need more myself. I'll tell you, you know, VFNU is for you. You can reach us at vfnuniversity.org and reach out and explore the opportunities because you're more important to the Lord than what you can do for Him. But He does want to use you.
That's what's so important, and the fact is that we first have to minister from the overflow of our personal relationship with Him. So we start learning all this knowledge without knowing how much He loves us and that we're in His family and we're working from a place of success, not for success.
Absolutely.
It's just so much safer, you know.
Sure. And out of relationship is a whole lot better than out of your head knowledge, you know what I mean?
Oh, I know it. Totally know it. Well, more at vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org. I want to talk to you just for a quick moment here. You may be at the end of your religious road. You may have done everything religious that you could think of. I mean, you may have sung in choirs. You may have had perfect, quote, church attendance, unquote. You may have got real close to those who are in ministry. You may have done all these things, but yet you're empty. You've found yourself, you know, seeking and running after what you perceive to be right, but you're running after things, a man, and not God. Listen, that's a seek that God's put inside of you. That's a seek that God's put inside of you. He's put that inside of you. And what it is, you were seeking after Him in the wrong places. Listen, He is after you. And the fact that you've done that means you're after Him. But you just got to get on the right road. You just got to get off the religious road and get on the relationship road. You got to meet God. The whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. And God loves you. God has a plan for your life, but you've got to meet Him. You meet Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus made a way for you to be in relationship with the Creator of the universe. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about a joyful walk in the Lord. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet Him. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is John Ramos and Pat Hamilton. Here we are. We are coming to the end of our, almost to the last quarter of the first hour, and I just want to, you know, encourage you this morning. I want to be able to tell you, you know, things that's going to just inspire you. And one thing I want to be able to share with you is I'm about to talk with, you know, Paul Davidson in just a moment. And I want to share with you about, well, I guess we'll just go ahead and talk about it in a second, in the extra hour today. You know, I want to be able to spend some time in the extra hour for that. But, you know, Redigging the Wells is coming up. It's coming up September the 15th, and 49 years ago to the day, you know, and Paul will share with us about it, is an event in Birmingham where the, you know, the Baptist Church, the African-American Baptist Church, had a bomb blow up in it because the Ku Klux Klan, you know, members of the Klan went there and put a bomb there after Dr. King gave his I Have a Dream speech in Washington.
Wow.
In Washington. And so, and they distracted. I mean, it's just evil. Satan is so evil. It's just, you know, the more you look, it's just like, Lord, save us. Mm-hmm. You know, men, the evilness in people's heart and the people lifting themselves
up over each other. Mm-hmm. And I love the argument that when President Abraham was actually a senator, I believe, in Illinois, he was writing a letter, and in the letter, or just basically doing a study, he's trying to figure out, you know, how can you lift yourself up over someone?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's using an analogy, and I have to kind of just grab it out of the air here. But this is in his handwriting. But he's talking mm-hmm. about, you know, how could we ever one man enslave another man?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and slavery's been around for, you know, a long time. But he's starting to think about this, you know, as a man in America who believes that all of our rights come from God. And he says, well, you know, if A, you know, enslaves B, talking about two different people,
mm-hmm.
because of A has a higher intellect than B, then what happens when somebody else comes along that has a higher intellect than A?
And A. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That would mean then A could be enslaved by maybe C.
Right.
But he didn't mm-hmm. say C, he just brought that A and B argument up. And then he said, now if A enslaves B because A has a lighter skin color than B, what happens when someone else shows up that has a lighter skin color than A? I mean, this is before he became president. He was already pondering this in his heart. I mean, he was looking at it and just saying, you know, this is, you know, it's just logically, it's stupid.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, logically. And that's a logical argument when you talk about things like that. You're looking at logic. And mm-hmm. it was just evil. It's not, mm-hmm. It was illogical, but it was illogical. It was just evil. You can't explain evil. It's just evil. You know, and so he was already pondering that before he became president. Mm-hmm. And he went through a lot of personal struggles to become president. One day we got to be able to share that, because so many people just throw their hands up at some point, mm-hmm. you know, when things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we'll get a chance to share that on VFN radio. But like I said, we're going to be sharing from Redigging the Wells in Birmingham. We'll have Paul Davison on from Overflow Ministries. Mm-hmm. In our second hour right there. You know, I want to share in the wisdom moment of today. You know, today is the 21st of the month. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited also about hearing in the second hour where John's going to be sharing with us about Mother Teresa.
Yes.
Can you give us a little insight about that?
Yeah, Mother Teresa spoke at a national prayer breakfast during Bill Clinton's administration. And she was speaking about love. And one of the things she speaks about is abortions, the killings of babies. And I just applaud her. She's speaking truth to power. Here's this 4'10" woman, I believe. And she can barely see her over the mic. You can't even see her mouth talking. She's buried underneath the podium. And she begins to start speaking about how abortions are the destroyer of peace. But you got to hear in her own words.
So you're actually going to play that video.
Just a small segment of it, because you'll be able to.
Will you
to
make
watch
it available also on the VFN Torch as well?
We will.
Awesome.
It's about a 30-minute speech, by the way.
Oh, wow. So the whole speech of Mother Teresa will be on the Torch. Okay. Well, the moment of wisdom for today is from Proverbs 21, verse 3. Proverbs 21, verse 3. And we always look at the word of wisdom for today. I mean, it's the 21st mm-hmm. of the month, the 21st chapter. We want to be able to get God's wisdom, the proper application of knowledge. And so it reads, Proverbs 21:3 reads, to do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Think about that. Mm. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. I mean, that is such a powerful statement, because so many people are religious, but they're not necessarily right.
Right.
I mean, they can sing and preach and teach and memorize scripture and da da da, and that's what's happened to a lot of people's viewpoint of God. They ran into the religious crowd who were more sacrificial than they were right.
Mm-hmm.
They were more sacrificial than they were just.
Mm.
But they missed God in the context of that. You know, mm-hmm. when you know, the church in America split over slavery. You had the Southern Church and the Northern Church. Well, the Southern Church totally missed the justice of God and the righteousness of God and what was right. And they just continued to sacrifice, not realizing God's more into doing what's right and just than the next song that's you're about to sing. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. No, that's right.
So some people are quick to say, you know, what do you need? You know, let me help you. Let me give you an offering. While never considering their ways are not right before the Lord, and they are not just in their dealings with man and God. And it's amazing. It's like, but don't you want to go back and apologize to your husband and your family the way you treated your family just then? No, I'll just sing a song. I'll prophesy. You know,
it's easier to do this outward thing than it is to have the Lord inwardly. I love Francis Assisi's quote. I just love it. He says, "Preach the gospel all the time, but when necessary, use words." What he's saying is just live the life. So, you know, don't do all the tap dancing. Don't do all the externals and don't have a relationship with God, because it's not good. It's a turnoff.
It's useless. It's not genuine. It's useless. You know, God doesn't accept those sacrifices.
He doesn't see it.
Yeah. And so, you know, that and when you see people say, well, why do you have these issues with the church? Well, the issues could be because, yeah, you built buildings. Yeah, you sang good songs. Yeah, you did, you know, you gave money to the Ethiopian water wells. Yeah, you know, you did start an orphanage. Yeah. But then they go, but you're not right. You're not treating people right. You're not into justice. You don't care about the poor man. You don't care about the person who has third generation experiencing injustice in their life. It never crossed your mind about participating with something like the Exodus cry,
right?
You know, and saying that it's not right for the children being taken into the sex trade. You know what I'm saying? Or women being taken into sex trade, and that God is into to what's right. You know, what is right? You'll have people, you know, God begins to deal with their heart, and then they'll say, listen, you know, they'll sweat at doing something, some hard labor. They'll say, hey, do you need something to be moved, or do you need me to build something, you know, or do you need me to, I mean, they'll make so many outward movements and sacrifices, and literally they're just making it hard for themselves because they're sacrificing.
Right.
But it never crossed their mind that God wasn't even thinking about the outside of the cup. He was talking about the things that need to move around inside their heart.
Right.
Think about it. You know, so many people there's so many people like that. The people that are dealing with their heart sometimes can think like, does it even matter?
Right.
That I have right motives, you know, I seek to have right motives towards my brother or my sister. Well, the Lord's telling you, yes, it matters. It's more important what you're doing. If you're focusing on, you know, doing what's right and just before God, than it is for somebody else who may be, you know, spending millions and giving all their possessions to the poor and, you know, and doing all these things but they don't have love.
That's right.
You know, so many people say there's some people that give exorbitant amounts of finances towards the kingdom work, such as missions and ministry efforts and outreach, while they stay in their sin. They never even think about dealing with their sin. But, you know, God does see these things. You know, he does see if we're giving things out and we're being kind to the poor, but it doesn't save us. I think about Cornelius. You know, Cornelius was noticed by God because of his alms to the poor, but he still had to make a decision to do what was right and just. He couldn't just, his alms to the poor didn't save him, but his alms to the poor gave him a chance to hear the gospel and respond in a right way and a just way to God. You know, works doesn't save us. Sacrifices do not save us, but they prove, of course, that we are. But we must always remember, never substitute sacrifice for obedience and justice. Today's Proverb 21:3, to do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice.
It's good.
Yeah, isn't it?
That's very good. It's very good. You know what? Because we can get to a place where if you're all we're doing is sacrifice and there is no relationship with God and becomes sterile, it reminds me, we spoke about this last week about King Saul. King Saul thought that it was okay just to step in and start doing sacrifices and start just offering things on the altar, and he was moving outside of his place. And then all of a sudden, Samuel walks up and says, "What are you doing?" And so he realizes he's in sin, and the very next thing he prays is, "I know that I've sinned, but would you come with me and worship so I can worship in front of my people?" And it's like, I'm paraphrasing, but it's like he had no clue, no thought that it was okay just to do these things, and yet, you know, you're offending God, you're sinning God. It's not about a sack. God's not interested in what you can do for him, you know. He's interested in you. He's interested in your heart. He's interested in your life. He's interested in you giving your heart. If you're watching someone else do stuff and you're new to the Lord, you can think that, you know what, maybe it's all about works.
Yeah. You know,
but it's not.
Yeah, that's very good. It's very good. Well, I want to talk real quick like how Israel's on the brink of war at this very moment. We're going to play this news segment from CBN this morning, and we'll talk about it. Hold on.
Days. In fact, one security expert saying there's never been so much talk about war in Israel's history. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Iran is the biggest challenge Israel faces at home. Some Israelis believe their leaders are talking more about the issue in hopes of getting the world more involved.
And CBN News Middle East Bureau Chief Chris Mitchell joins us now with more on this story. It's so great to see you in person.
You have to understand what they're saying is that Israel is on the brink. They're more set than ever before to be able to go to war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're coming to the end of this first hour. We want to hear just a little bit more and talk. We have to talk more about it in the extra hour, but listen up.
Normally, you are in Jerusalem. You live there, have for many years. And so because of that, you really have a great idea of what the Israeli people are thinking and feeling. So are they fearful of an attack?
I think they are, Lori. In fact, just as Lee just said, I mean, I think the talk of war has been more increased right now than ever before. I just talked to Julie Stahl, our other correspondent in there. She said it's not only the foreign media, but it's the Israeli media, and she's never seen it. The talk of war, this ratcheted up. It's not only coming from Iran as well. Iran is calling Israel an insult to humanity. They're calling for a new Middle East without Israel. So I think, you know, whether or not attack comes sooner or later, it seems like war is going to be inevitable.
Think about it. So we are right now on the brink of this. We're going to the last, minute here in the first hour, but 2 minutes, that we need to pray for Israel. We need to pray for the Jerusalem and understand, church, that ever how goes Israel, so goes the church. That you know, those are our brothers and sisters in the context of, you know, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that we serve this is our God, and that's the apple of God's eye. Mm-hmm. And understanding that they are surrounded by a caliphate government instigated in which our government was instrumental in forming around them. I mean, it's just like, I don't even know.
Every day it's getting closer and closer and closer for Iran to have these nuclear weapons. They just cannot wait any longer. I just saw this weekend where the former ambassador to Israel says, listen, we'd rather be condoned or condemned by the nations and we still be alive than be consoled by the nations while we're alive, dying.
It can be said any better than that.
Yeah. And so, you know, this is the time. We've got to stay behind Israel. We've got to, this for the church to be prayerful and to be watched. But you're looking at a very serious, and it's going to have a ripple effect on the United States and what's going to happen here.
I want to say this, brace yourself. If you have not yet went to VFN TV and watched Prudent Preparation, listen, it's going to hit. It's going to hit. It's going to be suddenly, and like David Wilkerson said, it's going to knock the breath out of you. It's going to be like zigzag for David. We'll talk more about it the extra hour. Hold on. Pray for Israel. And God bless you. If you're not going to be joining us in the extra hour, we just want to say God bless you. Have a beautiful day. You can find out more on your VFN TV app. Listen to the extra hour there. Go to VFNTV.com. And for those that are joining us, we'll see you on the other side in the extra hour.